Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we will we'll read from Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna as the Source of All Incarnations. We'll begin with verse 17, and there's no purport there, but we'll read that verse, and we'll read a few more. Until we encounter a purport. Okay, so 1, 3, 3, chapter 3 is Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Verse 17. Dandataram dvadashamam trayodashamam evacha apayayat suran anyan mominya mahayan striya. Translation. In the 12th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Dhanvantari, and in the 13th, he allured the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. Text 18. Chaturdasham Narasimham Bibrabdaichliendram Urjitam Dadara Karajar Urav Erakam Kata Krid Yata. In the 14th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Nrsinga and bifurcated the strong body of the atheist Hiranyakashipu with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces cane. Panchadasham Vamanakam Kritvagad Advarambale Padatrayam Yachamana Prachaditsus tripishtapam. In the 15th incarnation, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf Brahman, Vamana, and visited the arena of sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Bali. Although at heart he was willing to regain the kingdom of the three planetary systems, he simply asked for a donation of 3 steps of land. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning. And similarly, he can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small piece of land. So, let's say a few words about this and then we'll see. Perhaps we'll go on to something else in the next verse also. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vajani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastityadi Chaitanya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasini Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpata rubyastha kripa sindhu bhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes, so Lord Vamana, at least we can say a few words here that, as Srila Prabhupada points out, the Lord can give anyone the most from practically nothing, or take away the most, how would you say, as Prabhupada says, on the plea of begging a small piece of land. We all know the story of Lord Vamana, 3 steps of land. course, there's a number of interesting points that come out in the course of the narration. Like, for example, when Lord Varuna requested 3 steps of land initially, Bali Maharaj, you could say, more or less mocked him, that you are a 5-year-old child, and 5-year-old children, of course, they're just right at the beginning of their personal intellectual development, and there are just so many things which adults take for granted. I mean, understandings of life and of the value of things and what it should be and shouldn't be and all these types of considerations. For a 5-year-old child, these sorts of ideas are new to them, and therefore we see that, at least we could say a very clear example, a smaller child even, that if you offer the smaller child a 50-pound note and one colourful little sweet, it happens many times. The child goes for the sweet because it just, according to the child's conceptions of reality and what's desirable and pleasurable and so on like that, a piece of paper with dull pictures, even of Her Majesty, it just doesn't have what it takes to provide pleasure like the sweet does. So perhaps you have done that experiment sometimes. Yes. So Bali Maharaj, then he took Lord Vamana to be on that level of just sort of like childish incompetence, and 3 steps of land, please. He said different things like, whoever approaches me for something should never have to ask anything from anyone ever again. Yes. Do you want a planet? And so on like that, he made different offers. But Lord Vamana, apparently the innocent and just inexperienced little child, made a very profound statement in response, that if I cannot be satisfied with 3 steps of land, then it will not be possible for me to be satisfied, even if I have the whole universe. This is a very important point, actually. A very important point. There's the tendency, even amongst devotees, to feel that we need more than what we have. And even sometimes if we get more, to feel we need more than what we had felt we needed. I give you a sort of funny little example. I realized it was happening to me a couple of years ago actually. I was on a flight to somewhere, and the plane was just empty. There was perhaps 10 people on a moderate-sized airplane, means an airplane with perhaps 20 or 25 rows. are six seats across with an aisle through the middle. So, you know, for 10 people, it's just, well, it's just like that. So I had a whole row, six seats to myself. I actually had more. There are a few rows I could choose from, and each had six seats. So I sat down, and I sat down as I normally do by a window. But then I thought, well, let me choose, sit in another seat, because you know, being the window, maybe the sun was shining through or something. So, okay, I moved to the middle seat. And then I, for some reason, moved to the next, across the aisle. And I realized, wait a minute, this is very artificial. This is artificial. There are ideas of enjoyment here. And I'm making choices way beyond the normal choices available in such a situation. And there's some feeling that, yes, it would be better, or that would be better. But it's just the tendency to want more. As J. Paul Getty, at one time the most wealthy man on the planet, but who has since died and not taken his wealth with him, as he said when he was asked, do you have a philosophy of life? He replied, yes, my philosophy can be summed up in one word, more. So, yes. So Lord Vamana's response then is very profound, and it's very true. And particularly for devotees, we have to be able to embrace this idea, this truth, that it's part of the material disease to have this feeling of needing more and more. And of course, it may be possible to use more than whatever we have right now in Krishna's service, if we're Krishna conscious enough. But it's, you know, generally it's a good principle that whatever Krishna has given to you already, put that to the maximum use proper. Put that to the maximum use before, you know, at least before seriously getting into the idea of possibly getting more. Although Srila Prabhupada, who of course is the prime example of someone who was able to use more and for whom getting more or wanting more would not be based on some material consideration. Prabhupada was once told about one yogi who, in order to impress followers with his renunciation, austerity, and spirituality, would, when people offered him money, he would, how would you put it? He would sort of retreat as if repulsed. Oh, take it away, like that. So when Prabhupada was told about that person and how he did things like this, Srila Prabhupada said, no, we are different. And Prabhupada gestured, we will try to take all the money and use it for Krishna. Yes. Of course, that's Prabhupada, it's not us. Yes. That's Prabhupada and it's not us. But we should certainly recognize that the propensity to accumulate more definitely has its roots, at least for conditioned souls like us, has its roots in materialism. And we must be wary of that and avoid that, actually. And as much as possible, try and utilize whatever Krishna has placed, so to speak, at our disposal in his service. Utilize that before we really start thinking so much about more. So, yes, so what Lord Vamana said then is just so valuable. If I couldn't be satisfied with enough, the amount of land I can cover in 3 steps, then it wouldn't be possible for me to be satisfied if I had the whole universe. It's just really such a valuable, practical point, which otherwise, anyway, it's just such a valuable, practical point. Yes, so, and then, if one really tries to do that, then Krishna will give or may give so much more. Of course, our prime example of somebody starting, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, from a very small beginning, and then going on to a much more developed stage. Our prime example is Srila Prabhupada, who came to the Western world with, if I remember correctly, 40 rupees and a metal trunk, one of these Indian metal trunks full of Srimad Bhagavatams. So he started like that. And of course it took some time, some years, but gradually, and as time went on, not just so gradually, but there was certainly an increase of momentum as the movement spread, then even just in these terms of land or possessions and that sort of thing, just even in those terms, Srila Prabhupada's resources increased dramatically. Not many people have gone from 40 rupees, which of course now is about 60 American cents. In those days, it was, if I remember correctly, something like $7, which is still just extremely little. Who has gone from that point in a foreign environment with a completely different culture and perspective on life? And even, may we say, but of course Prabhupada could speak English. It was not your sort of typical English, but anyway, whatever, in those terms, Prabhupada went from that situation to, after, say, 10 years, by the time things really started moving, it was, say, 10 years, maybe 11, but not more than 11, Prabhupada reached the point where there were about 100 temples, quite a number of them owned by his organization, and thousands of dedicated followers who are working very hard to serve him. So who does that? I mean, maybe you get some business people who just quickly become very wealthy, but at the most, it's really uncommon. It's really very uncommon. And particularly in the sense of having these people, a whole team of thousands of people who are happy to work hard for nothing. that sort of dimension to the picture, even with some super businessman, that will not be there. Yeah. So, and even also another consideration, in old age, Prabhupada started, arrived in the West, well, he was plus or minus 70, and then everything was from 70 onwards, and that, generally when people, I mean, who has started some major type of enterprise at the age of 70 and been successful to that degree? Now, maybe if someone in their 20s or 30s, it happens in one way or another, but not like this. So this is just a classic example, as Prabhupada's saying here. The Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning. And similarly, he can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small piece of land. So, yes. You know, it's so important to remember that these types of, well, everything really, but here we're talking about development or sort of reduction in facility. Of course, it applies with everything. But it's very important to remember that these things are happening. Development, you know, retraction or whatever, are happening under the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very important to remember that and not become enamored by ourselves and the apparent, capacities that we may have, and then attributing particularly our success, if there is, to that, to ourselves and our feeling we have some intrinsic capabilities, and on the basis of those things, whatever they may be, we have therefore become successful and everything's developed, things have developed in our lives. It is simply going on by the mercy of the Lord. It is simply going on. And if we are not seeing that clearly, then we should know we are in a classic type of Maya. It's one thing to be in Maya. I mean, we're all sort of in Maya in certain ways. Who is perceiving that they are spirit souls? But it's another thing to be just in a class, particularly for a devotee, to be in a classic type of just gross Maya, that I am the doer. Karta aham iti manyate. They think thus. Karta aham. I am the doer. I am the doer. And of course, when success is there, it can be, or the people feel it to be, very satisfying. That kauta aham, look at me. And a person becomes very self-satisfied in that sense. See what I've achieved. And we, if we as devotees reach some point of that sort, then we should know this is classic Maya. This is classic. This is just straight out of the textbook. It's not some subtle, trick of Maya. It's just like being smashed over the head. So therefore, to keep that perspective on our lives and whatever goes on is vital, actually. Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna, everyone. Hare Bol. Bol Matan. Kimanya?
We are fine, Maharaj.
Oh, tu correct. Moi, aussi. Aha. Yes, we're sort of, I think we're winding up. Are we winding up? Yeah, kind of. So, yes, there we were. There we were. So, yes, I wanted to make a little point. I felt it a lot during this Japa retreat. In meaning, some mercy coming from the Lord, and because there was some mercy, something was happening positively. I actually found myself that my own chanting, and again this morning also, that I really benefited from just repeating all these things, which I've actually repeated on many occasions now, because I've done pretty much exactly the same seminar on, I don't know, more than 10 occasions. But I really felt a greater impact than the other times, particularly about trying to chant attentively. I really felt some benefit in that regard. And it was really clear how it was coming from Krishna, because I already tried it at least 10 times. And, you know, it's always nice, but this was much better. It was really much better. And therefore I understood it. It's Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy. And when we see we're getting some mercy of any sort, particularly in terms of our personal development and evolution as devotees, then we should hold on to it. Hold on to it. And never let go. Yeah. Because there's nothing in this world as valuable as the mercy of the Lord. But in a sense, there's nothing in this world as difficult to get as the mercy of the Lord. Yes. It's not easy. It's really not easy. Why is it not easy? This is described in Nectar of Devotion. At least in the context, it's in the context of getting devotional service, as opposed to just living in material life, but then you get devotional service and the whole way of life and everything that comes with it. There in Nectar of Devotion, it's described that Krishna may give, he may give so many things to people on the material platform. He may give money. He may even give liberation. But he doesn't so easily give devotional service. And for us, you know, we already have devotional service, you know. Yeah, well, we do actually. At least we have access to it. Yeah, we really do. It's just there for us. So, Krishna then doesn't so easily give, once you've got it, he doesn't so easily give progress in it. And so Srila Prabhupada there discusses in Nectar of Devotion, why does Krishna not so easily give devotional service? He even gives liberation much more easily. Why? And one reason which is put forward is because if he gives you devotional service, then he is giving you at least the possibility that you can control him, or even, you could say, possess him, but let's just say control. But possess also. On the level of bhava, but more on the level of prema, there's a particular symptom. There are different symptoms of a person who has love for Krishna. One of them is called mamata. Mamata literally means myness. And it means that that devotee feels, Krishna is mine. Yeah. And because it's the level of Krishna prema, it's not like some materialistic idea that, you know, Krishna's mine, so I can tell him, give me money or give me material things, that sort of idea. But it's very much that Krishna is mine on the basis of love, on the basis of devotional service. For the neophyte, and special asterisk, NB, nota bene, that means us, then it's not that we should think Krishna's mine, but rather we should think, I am Krishna's. We say, I am Krishna's. And because I am Krishna's, therefore, everything I do, everything I have, and all like that, must be utilized in Krishna's service wholeheartedly. So, but then gradually it all evolves to that point later. So, yes, so Krishna's very careful then who he gives access to himself. Because as soon as someone gets just a little Krishna consciousness, it's like they've got the key to the rest. They've got the key to the rest of Krishna. Right now, there may be just a trace of Krishna consciousness, just a little bit. But even that means that's the key. You just develop that. Just progress from there. And you can come to that point, and you will, if you do it nicely, that Krishna will become yours. And just like Mother Yashoda and her lady friends in Vrindavan, the Bhagavatam describes, little Krishna, he can't even walk nicely. He's kind of, you know, a little clumsy, you could say, apparently. But they would tell him, dance, Krishna, dance. And Krishna, in that sort of childish, clumsy way, would hop around and do something. And they would laugh. They wouldn't, you know, like if it was a professional Bharatanatyam dancer, think, oh, look at that. How nice. It just amused them. It was just funny. Oh, look at him. Little boy. Yeah. But Krishna didn't mind. Krishna was not thinking, hey, listen, ladies, you don't laugh at me. Because me, I am God. If I tell you to dance, you dance. You laugh at me again, I'm not going to dance again. No, so, yes, so they were able to do that. They did that. Mother Yashoda tied Krishna. He let her. He became overpowered by her love. So even the smallest beginning of Krishna consciousness means that you are on your way, or at least you can be on your way, to that. Therefore, Krishna is very hesitant and careful to give people any Krishna consciousness, even a little bit. He guards it very carefully because he knows what the consequences can be, will be, if the person then takes it up seriously and sincerely. So like this, the process of devotional service is really achieved. Devotional service is one of the characteristics of pure devotional service. It's really achieved. And it's really achieved because we are just so habituated to material existence. That's one thing. But it's also really achieved because Krishna is very careful about who he gives it to. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes. Any comments, questions?
Yes. I did catch up that bit when you said Krishna don't give because they might control if they
yes.
So what is that? How do they control like?
Well, like I mentioned, they told Krishna to dance. Mother Yashoda tied Krishna. She controlled him. He was tied up. He was controlled.
Right.
Others came and tried to untie him. They couldn't. Only she could untie him.
No, that bit you mentioned about devotional service, you don't give...
Krishna, the thing is, Krishna doesn't give a non-devotee devotional service because he knows that if I do give the person devotional service in due course they may be able to control me and Krishna doesn't want to be just controlled by anyone. Therefore he's very careful who he gives even just the small beginnings of devotional service. Because he knows what it can lead to.
Yeah, thank you, Mother.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.